making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Thank Hardy for this one. Quick question.
You know who's a big Elton John guy?
I didn't ask for this.
Tom Brady loves Elton John.
Big Elton John guy.
Big Elton John guy.
Big Stedman guy. Big Elton John guy.
Do you think Tom Brady likes... We had this question posed to Hardy and myself today on Twitter. In or out? On... What do they call those French fries with the nasty stuff on it?
Truffle fries?
Truffle fries.
Truffle oil on French fries? Truffle,
in.
Truffle fries?
In.
So gross.
What do you mean,
I don't like mushrooms. I don't like
disgusting.
And truffle
is terrible. Where do the mushrooms come in?
Truffle has a mushroom taste
They
to
screw it up all the time because they overpower it with the truffle oil. All you need is a little tinge. You screw
There's
up
not like oil on it. They use truffle oil like
I
a little
care.
Drizzle of it.
I don't like truffles. They're kind of like mushrooms, aren't they?
Truffle's a mushroom. It's a delicacy.
Gross.
You've never had them at like Davio's? You've never had like the truffle fries at Davio's?
I do not like mushrooms.
You've had them at Davio's, right?
I have.
And what do you think?
I eat one or two, but I cannot eat like a lot of them. But you give me a good plate of French fries, I will pound that with Heinz ketchup like you wouldn't believe. Like I think you're really reaching to screw up one of the great finds that we've had in the food industry.
French fries. Yeah, they don't need to be messed with a whole lot.
Thank you. That's all.
Yeah.
Like, and it's... It has such a pungent smell. Like, we go to this restaurant down at Cape. It's a real small place. And their specialty is these fries. And they have the spiral basket, you know, that they serve it in with the paper. And it's like a big cone of fries. And you touch them, and then you eat them, and then you smell like truffle oil for, like, 2 days. I don't know. I've never been a truffle guy.
How the hell did this come up, may I ask?
Twitter. And I pounded it out. Already said way.
Well, we were talking about Elton John. We were talking about Tom Brady. How did that get you to the truffle oil?
I was looking at your Twitter.
Okay.
Is that a pilgrim or a nun?
What are we looking at now?
Oh, no. That stress. Wasn't just like one of those plastic paper hats. That was a full-dress apron,
pilgrim.
White hat.
Yeah.
Like she's going downstairs like to make
like
shoes or something.
Like a Plymouth Plantation outfit.
Yes.
She's
yes.
going down there to grind the corn to make cornmeal.
Honey, hot.
Unshaven.
My God.
Legs.
Like
legs.
A pilgrim.
Women pilgrim probably never shave their legs unless you get the seashell and sharpen it on a thing.
A sharpened seashell. No, that was like money back then.
Yeah.
They're trading clams.
Easy. Don't. Just now stop. Don't let that last word take you anywhere else. Leave it alone.
I didn't say it.
Oh, I did. Yeah. 617-779-0985. Let's get back to that Brady interview.
Yeah.
People responding to that. Paulie's in the truck on Tom Brady. What's up, Paulie?
Hey, how you guys doing? I wonder if Brady likes the Black Crows. couple of things today, boys.
Okay.
The first thing you talk about, you guys are talking about, what do you feel worse about? Losing, getting your butt kicked, getting it handed to you.
Yeah.
Or if you play that real tough game. I found from experience that when I play that.
When you get your ass kicked, how do you feel?
You know, I was going to say, let's just play another Elton John song.
Just waited a minute of
let's
my
just
life.
Just play another Elton John song and keep moving, right?
I think we're
just playing songs in between calls.
You talked for 40 seconds.
Hey, world. Keep on going, world.
Oh.
World. Yeah, if you could also mix in Stedman while we do this, I think we'll dedicate this to Tom Brady.
Don't wish it away. Don't look at it like it's forever.
So this is like 80s
later.
Elton John?
It might even be early 90s.
But it's not bad. Listen to it now.
I could drive.
The things can only get better.
I could drive out west, listen to this. Like Western Mass.
They forget to THINK.
I don't want to be long before you and
1983, Hardy.
So I asked you the question. World.
Oh, God. 83. November of 83.
That's why they call it the blues, man.
35 years old.
Wow.
And I guess that's why they call it the blues. Time on my hands. And time spent with you.
World.
This is Tony something. Loving like children.
Living like love. Like thunder. T-H-U-N-D-E-R.
But like, see, Beatle, you weren't even alive when this song came out.
No,
were
you?
Okay. Zoe, you and I remember this. This was
Dan Marino and John Elway came out to draft this year.
Right, but this was considered like, this isn't real Elton John.
Right.
This is like the new fangled Elton John.
You want a Rocket Man, you want a Flash.
Right, this but you listen like... to it now, it's like, yeah, that's pretty good.
Stevie
yeah.
Wonder played harmonica on Timeless. That song.
Oh,
Jesus.
That's what Wikipedia says.
Oh, my God. Now, going down the Elton John wormhole.
Yeah, just keep it rolling. Dan in Providence now wants to talk about truffle oil.
Go ahead, Dan.
Dan, go ahead.
Hi, Dan. Dan?
Dan, hello? That's you. Yeah, hi. Dan, go ahead. Okay, we'll just hang up on him. Bob in Wilmington.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, Bob. How's it going, guys?
Good.
Good. You?
I'm Bob.
Good. Just a few things. That whatever happened in the offseason between Belichick and Brady, I think, is still lingering. And someone questioned Brady's commitment this year. His passing sucks. Belichick's game plan, he's not aggressive as usual, and they both look like they're just going through the motions. I want to give your guys' thoughts.
Both going,
though.
I think Brady's gift is his song to Belichick, and... that last game was for him.
I would say.
And he can tell everybody.
The problem is now.
That's your song.
When you've been through it for 18 years like he has, you go all the way back to that 2001 year, and when you have a tiny dancer and you put it in your hand,
oh,
when that dancer grows, because the dancer's never going to stay that size of a, you know, the thimble or.
No, not this one. I can't stand this song.
I love this song.
You like Crocodile Rock?
This makes me want to dance.
No. This is the worst.
I just want to have fun.
This is terrible.
This is awful.
Fun.
Come on.
No,
you know what this is? This is like the Springsteen.
Maybe Philadelphia Freedom. You know, they played that after the Patriots lost the Super Bowl to bring it back to this Brady Belichick rift.
That's what's a Springsteen song? Everybody breaks my balls because I like it. That's not really a Springsteen song. I got the wife and kids.
Kids in Baltimore,
I got
Jack.
Oh. Kids in Baltimore. Everybody's like, that's not
Hungry Heart.
Hungry Heart.
Hungry
yeah.
Heart. Cool Change? Little River Band, Cool Change.
That's not what this is.
What is this?
It's Elton John.
Leave on.
Oh, this sucks.
Finish your thought on Brady and Belichick. The rift still there?
Like, at some point, a little dancer grows up and the hand can't hold the big dancer. You can only hold a little one. And that's like the egos both growing, sort of symbolic.
And the plane.
And somewhere.
I think you're reaching on that one.
I don't think either Belichick or Brady are going through the motions.
Dude, that's Robert's favorite song.
I don't discount the notion that there's some lingering.
They're going through the motion. They're working their ass off.
There's some lingering resentment going on between those.
Is
two.
That why they're losing?
I think
no.
it's. I
no.
Think,
no.
I'm telling you. I sat down. With
I
the guy
say
yesterday.
Losing like it's a long streak. This is guy, that why they lost in Tennessee?
This isn't the guy who no. was screaming in Buffalo a year ago that I sat down with yesterday. He's at peace, and I think they buried this stuff in the offseason. And I do a bill every week. I don't see any grumpiness. I don't see any discontent, bitching. Or, you know, they know what they are. They're 7-3, and they got all their football in front of them. Like, this is what you do with the bye. You stop, you get away, you come back, and get ready to go. Like, we're going to leave here, too. We're going to come in tomorrow at 10 o'clock, do one hell of a show. Because you get away from it.
L-O-V-E.
Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub. Ooh.
617-779-0985. Our thanks to Dan Shaughnessy for all the...
for the 2 hours he was here.
How much you want to bet he went back downstairs to eat more turkey?
I bet he did. I mean, look, as you could see on NBC Sports Boston, they slowed the tape down to see exactly when he left. And you could see the top of his fro. You just barely right
look
through
at it.
The monitor.
Look at it.
It's reminiscent.
It's all you see.
What was the name of the guys out west that had the in the woods out in California that had the Bigfoot footage back in the 60s? Remember Bigfoot's walking, he had the stride, and he turns and he looks. It's reminiscent of that. Like 2 o'clock hits, I'm out. Or 1 o'clock. 2 hours.
Yeah.
Time is money, man. I don't blame him.
Steve is in West Roxbury on Josh Gordon, who we've been talking about over the last couple of days. What's up, Steve?
Hey, this is Steve White from West Roxbury. How about putting Josh Gordon at tight end, and then you use Edelman, Dorsett, and Hogan as your wide receivers?
It's not a bad idea.
I'd put Cannon in tailback. I mean, I would. Especially
I would
on
say
really
that,
like third and inches.
To answer the question seriously,
I think Josh would handle a positional move at this stage.
Josh hasn't fully grasped everything in the offense from his position at wide receiver. And that would not be any sort of long term move. And they're trying to get Josh Gordon up to speed to be as well prepared for a playoff run as possible. And that would only stunt his development as a receiver within this passing game. So I would say, hell no.
I'll say this from people I've talked to.
And we'll just leave it at that.
You know, from the multiple people or single people that I've talked to, that when Gordon shows you that he doesn't hesitate, it is so damn sexy that this is why they're trying to get him up and going. But I think for the bulk of it, maybe 80% of it, he's still unsure what to do. But when he plays and doesn't have to think, it's lights out. And they think they're going to get to that point.
Do you think he has an issue with confidence right now within the offense?
Yeah, I mean,
he's suffering a little bit of a crisis of confidence.
And all you have to do is look at the fade stop. The fade stop on the outside. You know, when Tom's trying to pull him up short and he's just running by it. Like, that should be his money route. Like, when you're with a guy for so long, that stuff you throw in your sleep, you know. And if that stuff starts to click, it's going to be there for him. But I think this, too, maybe they do this at the bye. Maybe they'll take a peek at what Josh does well and what he doesn't do well. He might be a three-route runner. What's wrong with that? What was Deion Branch? Three-route runner. Stallworth, three-route runner. That's a role. And then it gets Edelman and Hogan back to doing what they do. I'd get Dorsett out there a little bit more, too. Some of the quick hitting stuff. Quick hitch. A little screen down line of scrimmage. Why can't he run those? Okay, how about a go route with Dorsett? You know, let him run by people. Let him try him on a deep post. So some of the stuff they might be, you know, unleashing here in the second half. We'll see.
Mike is in the truck. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Hear you great.
Excellent.
All right, cool. Work with me on this one. Belichick tries to trade Brady last year around midseason. Brady cops an attitude and Kraft intervenes, or at least that's the rumor. Belichick tries to trade Gronk this summer. Brady cops an attitude and Kraft intervenes. At least that's the rumor. With all the struggles that we're having on offense and the poor production of Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, do you think that maybe Kraft is having some regrets? I mean, for the last 15 years, we've always tried to trade players when they've had an optimum value. And now, what do you think a team would realistically offer for a broken Rob Gronkowski and a I'm not going to say he's regressing, but he's certainly not playing like he normally does.
How do you look post trade deadline? To your point, where you go back to that trade deadline of last year, which I totally disagree with.
They didn't try and trade Brady.
Thank you. Brady outlived the plan, and that's what screwed them. They were hoping that sort of what you see now, or even worse, would have happened last year, to where, say, you're a 4-4 team, and you know what? We're keeping Garoppolo. Brady was the only thing you had at the trade deadline
and
last year. He carried your ass.
That was reported a year ago when Jake Glazer on Fox said the 49ers asked about Brady, and they laughed in their face. Bill Belichick said, no. What are you, nuts?
What do you think, they're trading the greatest quarterback ever?
What do you think, I'm out of my mind?
Yeah.
I'm not trading him. And then It was later confirmed by the 49ers that they did, in fact, ask about Brady, and they were told, no, that's not even up for discussion. We won't even discuss it with you. You're nuts.
I think more the Gronkowski thing is Gronk said, I'm not leaving. I don't even think you need a Brady on that one. I think Gronk threw the fit, and it's where you're at right now. I don't think you need a Brady to double down on that one as to what some of the rumors were. Dill's ready to go. He said, I'm not going. I'm playing here.
We haven't heard from Blair in Maine for a while.
You want to start the counter?
He's been everywhere.
Really?
Yeah.
Calls other shows? I mean, maybe if we put Elton John on before we take the call,
Jim,
we might feel
give me a little background.
Might feel better about it. I don't know.
Give me Crocodile Rock because his tone sucks so bad. Jim,
crack
Crocodile
song
Rock.
Again.
Crocodile Rock.
Stop.
You already got that for like 30 seconds. Blair in Maine, go.
I feel good when the Crocodile Rock song, baby, because I love it when you guys are singing to that stuff. It's very entertaining. I want to see you guys in an RV singing into this stuff, to Crocodile Rock and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Thanks for the call, Blair. Is he calling everybody? Is that his deal now? Who else does he call? Across the street? Actually, they're not across the street anymore, are they?
Any old building.
They're actually moving into our old home.
Yeah.
Doing a lot of sports, I hear.
A lot of sports.
Sports.
What's Pierre Maguire on him in the morning?
I hope soon.
I'll tune in for that. I get my hockey update.
Hockey! Okay, let's go to Chris in Quincy. Chris.
Dino, Chris Bell from Quincy. How are you?
Very good. Thank you, sir. How are you?
Just wanted to thank you and Zoe for and everyone at Sports Night for supporting the role last Friday night. You guys were awesome.
Oh, Chris, how you doing?
Yeah. I just want to thank you guys because it was a huge success, and obviously it was a great day for the Radzics, and everyone at the station was so
awesome.
so supportive. So I just wanted to publicly say thank you guys and everyone there.
Thank you wasn't even needed, but we appreciate it.
All right, guys. Okay. Have a good day.
All right, buddy.
All right, take care.
See you, pal. Thanks.
Crocodile Rock?
No. That was a good call.
That was a great call.
Genuine call.
It's good seeing Chris.
But it's like
him for a while.
It's like a private matter.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't want to get it.
It's not our job to do that.
Brian is in Fitchburg. Hi, Brian.
Hey. What's going on, guys?
What's up?
Hey, I got a quick Butler question and then a Tuukka Rask comment. So, Zoe, would it be fair to say that Vrabel quote unquote protected Butler?
You're damn right he did. Yep.
So, would it be fair to say that Chris Hogan only had one target? Is it fair to say that Brady did the same thing?
Meaning he protected Hogan?
Oh, I get what you're saying. He didn't.
He protected Butler as his buddy by only throwing.
Oh, hell no. Butler wasn't out there in a lot of combinations.
Like, Brian, that's not what motivated that, right? You're not suggesting that he was motivated to not throw to Hogan because of Butler.
Hell yeah. Why not?
Because that's insane.
I think you know what? When Butler got screwed in the Super Bowl, and it affected Brady.
Brian, you honestly believe that Brady would put that ahead of doing what's best in terms of trying to win a football game?
I keep going back to that fourth.
You believe that?
All right. Hold on.
It's always fun to throw that stuff out.
Well, no, but you must believe that Tom Brady's a total fraud if you believe that to be true. Like, that's insane.
No, I don't. But it is something to possibly think about.
Here's what I'd be more upset with. The fact Butler dressed out in that Super Bowl.
No, it's not something to think about. I don't ever think of it that way.
You know what I mean? That's like cutting your nose off to spite your face is that, you know, you dress a guy up and not play him and you waste a roster spot. If you full well know that guy's not going to play and you make him dress and stand out there, that's tough on the team.
That would be the equivalent of throwing a game.
Like, people keep talking about the fourth and six, going back to that fourth and six where you stick it to Edelman and, you know, Chris Hogan's open. If that's third and six and that's a double move outside, I bet you he goes to Hogan. I don't fault him once on a fourth and six money play where you're desperate. That team was desperate. I'm going to my guy. I'm going to my guy that's been there. I'm banging on Edelman 10 out of 10 times. If he ain't there, 87, I'm banging on him.
No, but
that's what he goes to on fourth and six.
I mean, you didn't have to go that deep.
I'm not going to throw it to Hogan because of Butler.
He's suggesting that he wants to protect his former teammate and not make him look bad, and therefore he's willing to not look at a particular receiver who, oh, by the way, he hasn't looked at all year long and publicly called out on the field in the middle of the game.
With a 20-point lead, say they were up 20 points on Tennessee and Malcolm's out there, I bet you 12 would go right at his ass.
And if you're talking about Mike Vrabel protecting Malcolm Butler, he's doing it because he's trying to get Butler up and going.
Vrabel.
He's trying to get him, build some confidence, get him playing a little bit better, helping him with the assignment, lightening the load, so to speak, to sort of build him back up.
That wasn't Amari. That wasn't Amari
in the best
Cooper.
Interest of the Titans.
And that wasn't Amari Cooper.
That's not
Cooper.
Doing a guy a personal solid.
Wasn't Amari Cooper on Monday night that spun Butler around? That was Hearns. So Vrabel's sitting there looking at his tape like, we got Brady and Belichick coming in. I can't put Malcolm out there like that again. I got to protect him. I've learned now. I had the thought process that he's a $12 or $13 million corner. Right now he's not playing like it, so I got to do what Bill's always done with us, protect guys when they need it. And that's what Vrabel did. Credit to Vrabel.
617-779-0985. Hardy has our headlines. We've got more of your calls coming up. And we have today's takeaways at 150.
Sports Hub headlines.
Bruce Cassidy lost Zdeno Chara in the first period last night due to a lower body injury. He did not return after the game. Cassidy had this to say.
It's a lower body. I don't have much. I don't know. I assume that they'll have to. I didn't get a really report. All they told me was he was out for the rest of the night. And usually that takes a day to get looked at, whether that's in Dallas or he has to go home. I have no idea. But I'm sure we'll have more news on it tomorrow.
And we're still awaiting more news. But for right now, I can tell you that another defenseman, Connor Clifton, is on his way to Dallas to join the Bruins. He's been called up. As no signs yet that Chara is going to be ready anytime soon. The Bees lost 6-3 last night to the Avalanche in Colorado. Celtics got a win. Convincing fashion, 111-82 over the Bulls last night at the TD Garden. They'll stay home to take on the Raptors tomorrow. Patriots with one practice yesterday. Now they've got a few days off for their bye week before their next game, a week from Sunday at the Meadowlands against the New York Jets. The NFL week begins tonight as the 4-4-1 Packers visit the 4-5 Seahawks.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
There was one baseball writer, and we have him on the line right now, John Maffey. Of this, not from Washington, where you would think homerism lives and thrives. John Maffey is with the San Diego Union-Tribune. John, can you look at yourself in the mirror? John?
Can I? Yeah, absolutely.
No. No, no, no. You're looking for 15 minutes of fame and attention.
Steve, this interview is over. Thank you. Goodbye.
What?
I will never forget.
I didn't know Stedman Graham had his own sports talk show.
That is some of the greatest stuff I've ever heard. That happened last night on WFAN. That's Steve Summers, longtime night guy at WFAN.
You sound like Stedman.
I used to work college sports television on the west side at Chelsea Pier in New York before I started doing any radio. And I used to drive back and forth to do the college TV stuff. And I remember driving on 95 at about somewhere right outside of New York City where I'm scrolling through the through the stations. And I land on this guy doing overnight on the Fan. Hi, I'm Steve Summers. And I'm like, wow. This dude's got a voice for radio, but it's really creepy.
That's dangerous to listen to when you're driving at night.
I know. No. It puts you in a trance.
Steve Summers has been with WFAN since its inception, July of 87. He's been there the whole time.
Over 30 years.
Yeah. He last night got on the phone, John Maffey of the San Diego Union-Tribune, as you just heard, because Mets pitcher Jacob DeGrom received 29 of 30 possible first place votes for the NL Cy Young Award.
All right.
The lone writer to not put him on the ballot was John Maffey.
John.
So what does he do? He calls him up. He gets Maffey on the phone. And there you have it. He's John Maffey, by the way, is been around for a very long time at the San Diego Union-Tribune.
Good for you, John. I got the time.
He's been a sports writer there since 1985. So he's a longtime writer. And he didn't have DeGrom as his guy. Didn't vote for DeGrom. Gets on. Summers treats him to that intro, and he hangs up.
Can you look at yourself in the mirror? John?
Can I? Yeah, absolutely.
No. No, no, no. You're looking for 15 minutes of fame and attention.
Steve, this interview is over. Thank you. Goodbye.
Hero. Wait.
What?
Hero. Huh? A what? A tiger shark.
How condescending is Hummers there? No, child.
No, you can't. You're not.
Let me tell you.
No, and you're actually, to prove I'm not in it for my 15 minutes, goodbye. I didn't think you deserved to win it. I voted for somebody else.
What?
Yeah.
Radio. Awesome.
Oh, that was great.
Is there something for Francesa, too?
Well, I just said...
Look. How ridiculous is it that he didn't give him the first place vote? I don't even know. I'm not studying the NL Cy Young race. Well, it seems pretty obvious.
29 of the guys had him. I mean, he had Scherzer.
So it's pretty
as his guy, who got 29 second place votes.
Okay,
right.
So
all of the first and second place votes went to DeGrom and Max Scherzer. This guy had his as Scherzer 1, DeGrom 2. That's how he had it. I mean, DeGrom was the clear-cut winner. Everyone should have been voting for DeGrom. Who cares about this?
Steve?
Like, Jacob DeGrom should care.
Guy doing radio since 87.
But again, these personal awards, like, oh, great, you won a Cy Young. That's nice. Good for you.
So did he not vote for him at all?
Playing for such a pitching for such a horrible team and a horrible franchise like the Mets.
So he put him second, right?
Yeah, he put him second.
Okay, so it's not like he didn't vote for him.
No, it was like he left him off. He just didn't give him a first place vote.
People were like, ooh. Right. Oh, my God. Well, that's ridiculous.
No,
that's just being ignorant.
His second place vote went to DeGrom. It went 29-1, 1-29, first and second. So I just thought that was so great. Also, Mike Francesa is catching a lot of heat for what he said earlier in the week
about what?
Stan Lee. Want to hear that?
Eddie in Hoboken. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's happening?
Hey, Mike. Stan Lee died today. Did you ever meet the guy? What do you think of him?
Stan Lee.
Yeah, Stan Lee.
I don't know who he is. Don't know who he is, no.
Jesus.
Who is he? Who is he? Who is Stan Lee?
He was one of the creators of Marvel Comics.
Oh, who cares? I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not a comic book guy. Is that who he is, Stan Lee? The guy
he created Spider-Man. That was his big thing.
Created Spider-Man? Sorry. I never was a comic book reader as a kid. I apologize.
I just read Sports.
I have no issue with this take whatsoever.
I am 100% behind Mike Francesa.
I stand with Mike on this. He was not
hashtag.
He was
Team
not
Mike.
Putting down that the guy had died.
Nope.
He's saying, why do I care about this?
Hey, who cares? What?
Who cares means nobody should care.
Who cares in the world of sports? It's not a sports thing.
No.
You call a sports show that does. I mean, Mike is pretty much sports. Right?
I remember.
He doesn't go outside of that very often. Would Mike ever talk about a comic book?
That guy should have known calling in to tell Mike Francesa that Stan Lee got. He was going to not be met with a whole lot of conversation about Stan Lee.
Right. It has but nothing to do with that guy's show.
The only thing wrong with Francesa is that he backpedaled on it. Like the next day he was saying, look, all I said was I didn't know who he was. No, you said who cares. You're very dismissive over something, which is, all right, if people are going to get all butthurt about that, then you're being too sensitive about Mike Francesa's borderline insensitivity. It is backpedaling.
That's not insensitive.
No, I said borderline insensitivity. What Francesa did the next day was he said, look, all I said was I didn't know who he is. No, you said, who cares?
Yeah.
Which, all right, it's dickish.
Well, I mean, we've had 3-hour tributes on this station today.
Who cares? Yeah.
I'm a beetle on this. And Jim knows me. Jim's worked me 15 years on my kid's life.
A few things get glossed over in the Stan Lee in memoriam.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, a few things. There was a New York Times column about him that was pretty good. About, a lot of people thought of him as being a bit of an egomaniac who took credit for stuff that maybe he shouldn't have gotten credit for. Like giving himself writing credits on stuff.
It's all over Batman.
The other guy who created Spider-Man that Stan Lee wouldn't give credit to for like decades.
That was Batman.
Until it was like way later. But of course, the guy is responsible for like the biggest movement in movies in the last 20 years. Okay. I mean, his characters are providing a lot of entertainment for a lot of people. But let's just say that he was not a universally loved guy. But fine, don't talk about that now. You know, give your praise for Stan Lee, but can we move on? At what point do we move on? And to think that Francesa would have anything to say about it one way or the other, That's on the caller.
Right.
Not on like, that's Francesa.
On you. Not holding him responsible for that.
Like, my first kid's 18. But I remember going back to this Stanley character on Disney, on the Disney Channel. And they would watch it every freaking day, all day, 24/7. And I never got into comics. I've never been into comics or Comic-Con or any of that. But we know who Captain America is and that. I don't really care who the creator is. I don't care who the creator of any of these things are. Really. That's nice he created. That's a hell of a thing. This guy's legendary. Once you go and you read it, as of 3 years ago, I had no clue who the hell this is. I thought Stanley, because Rich came in one day talking about Stan Lee, and I swear to God, I thought it was the little character from Disney. And you're like, oh.
Well, here's
it's,
the other thing.
It's not
that,
your wheelhouse, man.
Here's the other thing that doesn't get talked about with Stan
People
Lee.
Need to relax over this.
Who drew Peanuts?
Schultz.
Right. And you want to know why? Because he created it. He drew it. It was all him.
Jim Henson is the Muppets.
Jim Henson, Muppets, right? Mm-hmm. Stan Lee, he had some ideas. He was the art director. But what he became known for, and again, I don't know any of this. This is what I know from reading about him after he died, is that he was a brilliant marketer, not only of the comics themselves, but of himself. The only thing he regretted was not making more money. It was worth like $50 million when he died. And based on what the movies had done, he should have been worth billions, yeah. Right? But, all right, he signed away a lot of stuff early on.
He's only worth $50 million when he died?
But wow. But creatively, that's if you could really get down to it and find out who did what and who drew what and who came up with the ideas for what, there were a lot of people involved. And the one good thing he did, anybody who had anything to do with one of those comics, they got a credit. He was all about like giving a lot of people credit, but that also means a lot of people got credit for stuff that, like, yeah. You know, if we're doing like the Zolak and Bertrand, who contributed to this show today, we're going to go back and find every caller who got hung up on but was waiting on hold but we didn't get to. We're going to give him a credit on the day show. No.
Paulie got on a show. He did
not
nothing.
Not everybody
on the show.
Deserves equal credit for the creation of Iron Man. But in Stan Lee's world, they kind of did, including, most importantly, himself.
Tony Sparks.
Well, let's huddle and figure out how much credit Shaughnessy gets for today's show. And today's takeaways will be...
at least a third.
Will be next.
What?
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub. That's me.
All right, time for today's takeaways. Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Take away your excess weight for life. Official weight loss program of the Boston Red Sox. So
do not have the manager of the year. Sorry, Jared Carrabas and Gordon Eads.
Carrabas,
all you homers.
Bradford.
Why is Bradford upset? Oh, he voted. I saw Jen McCaffrey and Bradford are two of the people who gave him their first place vote.
Didn't
they were voters.
Say Trenny had a hissy
they
fit
both
too?
Gave him the first place vote.
Didn't Trenny have a hissy
I did
fit?
See that. Yeah. Jen McCaffrey of the Athletic, Bradford of yeah. Yep.
All right.
You honks.
I do color here on the Patriots Radio Network, and we have a lot of good play-by-play and color teams here on the Sports Hub. One legendary, Cedric Maxwell. And he's taught me good things. And good things meaning preface your comments with, okay, don't take this out of context when I compare a certain player to a player of the past. And I always say this when I talk about Randy Moss. I'm not comparing this receiver to Randy Moss, but there may be a certain trait. But then you listen
to
the Celtics broadcast.
So we don't have 10 minutes. Why don't we get to it?
Celtics broadcast last night, Marcus Smart, Dr. J comparison. Give
Same
it a listen.
Guy. Same guy.
Sometimes defensively, you would think it's like, you know, two Marcus Smarts out there. I just think that sometimes I was playing Dr. J. God, is it two guys just went by me?
Two guys.
Dr. J, one of the best NBA players
playing
of all
against
time.
Dr. J, man.
Is being, again, Marcus Smart, Dr. J. Hard to tell the difference.
Celtics analysts never do that. That's,
nope.
That was
no,
the
no.
Tommy's never committing to
Steemsma
Bill Russell.
Is Russell.
This kid has got the same timing as Bill Russell.
Avery Bradley was Jordan.
Yep.
If you can believe that, they traded Michael Jordan away.
You know who used to do stuff like this from behind? Michael Jordan.
Oh, yep. Really? Yeah. Same thing.
Is that right?
Same thing.
Same thing.
I
would
be
same
like
guy.
Mike.
Kelly Olynyk was Dirk.
Time to get out your Zoe decoder rings.
That's a good one.
And try and figure out what Zoe was saying when we asked him about him sitting down with Brady yesterday. Please.
What did Brady have to say about Stedman Graham yesterday, Zoe? You had a big, long sit down with him.
We talk a little bit before we get going.
How long do you talk before the cameras are rolling?
I was a bullet flying at work, so end of the world. Oh, yeah. You hit the cliff, pal. Yeah, you look like dog doo-doo.
Stop. I don't even understand what you're saying.
I was trying to play two characters. You asked me the question, what'd you say to Brady?
How do you tell the story of talking?
How you doing, man? I was bullets flying at work. Like, end of the world? Yep, you hit the cliff, man. Downhill from here. I was a bullets flying at work, so end of the world? Oh, yeah. You hit the cliff, pal.
That's me coming in. Yeah, I was off the cliff.
That's it. Time to finally talk.
You think Brady just does a lot of smiling like and
that,
nodding with you
because like
he doesn't
girl.
Understand either?
It's like the girl reporting from the Grammys. Terrence Tazen, pit in a bit.
I think he got his teeth
nailed it.
I think he got his teeth
nailed
recapped
it.
Or polished up or something.
Oh. Like, was he having trouble talking?
It's something about me.
Hey,
like,
one more.
Right there, man.
One more. This is during Hardy's headlines earlier today when we had left the room.
It's amazing how this doesn't happen with other headlines.
Shut up. Because of his absence and others, a defenseman has been called up. I got sunshine on my back. I got
hands that run the clock. What is that?
Jim, would you look at my computer screen?
Look.
Do you see anything that would make that noise? You see anything that would make that noise?
Look at it.
That's you. Now you're messing with me.
He loves, like, just like, Hardy is so good at playing that off.
That's an ad of some sort, isn't it?
Around.
It's like an internet ad.
But I had a box score from the Celtics game on my screen. That was all I had up there. I don't know where it comes from. Defenseman has been called up. I think they're messing with
me. All right. I don't believe you.
All right, pal.
Okay. We'll do this again tomorrow. Yeah?
Friday.
Yeah, you want to do it
again? What's the sales department doing tomorrow? What's the big holiday tomorrow?
They blew off today. What's tomorrow?
This felt like a Friday show. This felt like a Friday before a vacation show. We got like four more shows.
And now we're out of material. What are we going to do tomorrow?
Don't know.
Felger Mazur next.